Well, good morning. Let me share this. Craig, if it gets cold over there, sneak over here because it's going to blow that way. But man, if I'm burning up down here, I know when I get up here, I'm going to be sweating. So if you guys get real, real cold, just holler and someone will turn it off. But it's hot. So I see lots of you fanning this morning. We want to try and remedy that. So good to see all of you. I know you could have been a lot of different places this morning. Kickoff of summer. We've got Memorial Weekend. And I want to share with you what we're going to do. You see, a salute this morning. I think it's very fitting that we take an opportunity and we remember those who have served, that we remember those whose lives have been given as a sacrifice in the line of duty. And what I want to do is something that hopefully will honor those whose lives have been lost. But if you've served in the military somewhere, some way, somehow, I want to just ask you to stand this morning. If you've served in the military this morning, would you stand? Please. Please, would you do that? I know we have a few. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Remain standing for just a moment. Remain standing. This is what we're going to do is, I just, in honor of those whose lives have been given, I want us to have a prayer, but I want you guys to represent those fallen soldiers this morning. Would you remain standing while we have a prayer to honor the families and the memories of those whose lives have been given fighting for the freedoms that you and I hold dear today? So would you bow with me for a word? Father in heaven, today in the magnificent name of Jesus, thank you so much for the life that we're able to live, the freedoms that we have to be able to worship, the freedoms that we have to be able to live, to just to be able to drive to the grocery store and to get a gallon of milk. Father, I want to thank you for those lives over the years, over the many wars that have been fought, over the many battles that have been participated in, over the many lives that have been lost. Father, we just thank you for each soldier who laid it all on the line. Lord, and I think we understand, maybe it wasn't that they were fighting for us. Maybe it's that they were fighting for their brother next to them. But Father, we're able to receive the benefit of that service. We're able to receive the benefit of the blessing of knowing that they were fighting for their brothers and their sisters and their families. And so, Father, we lift those families up to you who have lost loved ones in the line of duty. And we just ask your hand of blessing upon these who remain, these who served and who fought and who continue to serve and to fight today. And Father, ultimately, as Keith mentioned in his prayer a while ago, we're so thankful for the greatest sacrifice that was ever given, the sacrifice of King Jesus, that he went to the cross on our behalf. But Father, even more than the sacrifice, we thank you today for the resurrection. And we praise you for it, asking your blessings upon this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, men, so much. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, I want to challenge you to turn to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23 will be the scripture that we'll be looking at this morning. I want to share with you, had an opportunity to remember those lives that have been lost, to honor you men who have served. Between 1861 and 1865, I want to share with you, during the American Civil War, did you know that there were more lives lost during the American Civil War than there were during World War I and World War II combined? Over 850,000 lives were lost. Over 650,000 lives were lost during the Civil War. And World War I and World War II combined had just over 622,000 lives were lost. So you know that the American Civil War was devastating. And the bad part about the American Civil War is that it was brother fighting against brother, cousin against cousin, maybe even father against son during that time. as a result of them fighting for what they believed in, there were many, many hundreds of thousands of lives lost in just that four-year span. I want to tell you today that you and I are fighting a battle. I don't know if you're aware of this. Maybe you've forgotten this, but you and I are fighting a battle as men and women who follow Christ Jesus, who love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You are in a daily battle. And let me share this, that it's a battle that has been raging since Satan has slithered in to the Garden of Eden. It's been continuous since then. And today you and I are here and we're participating in that battle whether you realize it or not, every single day. There's some truths that I want to share with you today concerning the Scripture and what I want you to know about being a Christ follower. Several truths that I want to share with you today concerning the Word of God. And so I want to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and following. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, today in the mighty name of Jesus, we just ask your hand of blessing. Father, and we seek to bring honor and glory to your name as your word goes forth today, that it will not return void. Father, right now that we ask for the binding of Satan, that you keep him away from our service today, that you and you alone would receive honor and glory. And Father, that you would begin to speak to the hearts of those who gather today, that they would understand that the battle does rage and that it's real. And that it's one that as a Christ follower that you participate in every single day. And so today, just speak to our hearts to help us understand the steps we need to take in order to win the battle. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I have three things that I want to share with you I think are very relevant to the Scripture that we've just read. And the Scripture says this. It says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And so the first thing that I want to submit to you this morning is this. I want you to get this. Write it down. Understand it. Allow this to be part of the blueprint to help you understand how to win in the battles of life. Because it's a real battle. It's the world, the devil, and the flesh. Those are the things that you and I engage in battle against every single day. And so point number one is you've got to understand the warfare. Point one, you've got to understand the warfare. The Christian life, I've already shared, it's a battleground. It's not a playground. And it's real. And it's something that is magnificently difficult in a very big way. And there's three fronts in which you and I fight every single day. Adrian Rogers said it this way. Let me share these three points. He said that you're fighting against the external foe, the infernal foe, and the internal foe. And I love that. And I'm going to explain those in detail in just a few minutes. But that is, in fact, the world, the devil, and the flesh that you and I engage in battle against every single day. This is what the Scripture says. You need to know exactly, right on the get-go, how do we win in this battle? And so the Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 through 13, it says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand firm. firm. So God gives us an outline. He shares with us through the scripture in Ephesians exactly what you and I need to do in order to defeat the wiles of the devil, to defeat the ways of the wicked one. And if you're going to be successful in this every single day, then we've got to break it down so that you understand who it is you're up against, what it is you're fighting against. And number one is the world. This is what the scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, we're encouraged. Do not love the world or the things in the world. And when you read that and you hear that, we're encouraged. But then he goes on and says this, but do not love the world or the things in the world. I need you to understand that loving the world is not loving the people of the world. Not like John 3:16, because God loves the world. He loves the world in a magnificent way. And the scripture tells us that really when you begin to understand, it's the people of the world that he loves. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Can I tell you, friends, God loves the world. Amen. But he tells us this external foe that we're not to love is the world that we live in. And the scripture tells us right here, it says the things in the world. And we've got to be separated from the things in the world. You begin to understand that and you begin to picture that in your mind. To not love the world or the things in the world. And to love the world is to love the things in the world. And you and I can't be in love with the world because there's a dueling battle there. And we always are weak in the battle against the world. And so the scripture goes on. He tells us in verse 16, he says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You want to know what you're in battle against? This is it. These are the things of the world that you and I are to be against. These are the things that we're fighting against every single day. And it's a difficult battle that you and I engage in. It isn't easy. And I'm going to tell you that you're not going to have victory if you're continually engaging yourselves in the things of the world. And so you got to understand your opponent. It's the world. But not only is it the world, but it's also the devil. The infernal foe. This word infernal, it literally means diabolical or wicked. It's the infernal foe. And I'm going to tell you, it's Satan. And ever since he slithered into the Garden of Eden, he's been against you and he's been against me. He's been against God's people. And all he wants to do is to destroy you. That's his desire. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy everything that you represent. You know, there's the world and then there's the devil, and I want to tell you, he finds pleasure in taking you, as especially a new Christian, and ripping you to shreds. He wants to tear your relationships apart. He starts in the home. He wants to tear the churches apart. He brings it in here. That's what the devil does. And can I tell you, he's had many, many, many years to perfect his craft. He's good at it. He's good at it, and we've got to know what we're up against. And so the scripture tells us this. You need to understand 1 Peter 5, verses 8, and then the very first part of verse 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Isn't that good? Then the first part of verse 9 says this, resist him. Isn't it great to know that as a believer that you can resist him? Isn't it great to know it's like putting boxing gloves on and you going to battle against him and you throw an uppercut and then a hook and you do those things. I'm telling you, it's about spiritual strength, but you can defeat him. But you've got to start with Ephesians chapter 6, who we've already shared. You've got to put on the armor of God in order to be able to do that. Do you hear me, believers, today? If you equipped yourself with the armor of God, that's my prayer, is that you would do that, that you would equip yourself with the armor of God so that you don't fall in love with the things of the world and you don't allow the devil to devour you. But then the third thing is this, and that's the flesh. That's the internal foe. Yourself. We're fighting against ourselves, and there's a dueling nature there, and we're going to talk about this in just a minute, but you need to understand that. The truth is, you know, there was a song when I was a teenager, and I couldn't remember who sang it. I thought maybe it was Sammy Kershaw, but it ended up being Joe Diffie, and I don't know the name of the song, but it has a line in there, and it says this: "The devil made me do it, talked me into it, and that was all she wrote." So I just thought I would share that I can't sing. But listen, let me share this. Hey, can I get an amen? I'm going to get an amen this morning somewhere, some way, somehow. Listen to this. The devil can't make you do anything. He has no power over you, none whatsoever. And the Scripture tells us this in James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Listen to the Scripture. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. All right, so that's the first point. First of all, you need to know that God doesn't tempt you. That no way, no how does God tempt you. But listen, let's follow this through. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. Praise God for that. Nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one, listen to this, each person is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. We've talked about this time after time after time. We draw a line in the sand and it's there, it's visible, we can see it, and we come up to the line. This is temptation. This isn't sin. You can be tempted all day, every day, and not sin against God. The example is Jesus in the wilderness. You can be there. The line is clear. But the next step causes you to fall into a chasm. And if I were to take that next step without paying attention, I'm going to fall. I'm going to break something, and it's going to hurt badly. And so I've got to know where that line is drawn. This has to be where I stop. If I get to the edge and I feel that part of my foot is hanging off, I need to back up. Don't you agree? And when it comes to that point in our lives where we're fighting this battle, it's a raging inside us every single day, you need to know that the battle that you're raging and fighting against many times is yourself. That dual nature that Scripture talks about. And so it's the world. Understand the warfare. The world, the devil, and yourself. That dueling nature. And it's important that you understand. He says this, that we are tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires and enticed. Wow. Know what your desires are. Know where that line is drawn in the sand for you. Number two, the next thing that I want to share with you, we're going to win these battles that are a part of our everyday existence. If we're going to be victorious in the little battles, then we have to understand, first of all, the warfare. But secondly is this, you've got to decide between two natures yourself. You've got to understand this. This is it. You're fighting, and we talked about that infernal foe already just a little bit. You're fighting against your own desires and enticed. That's what James says. And so listen to this. Romans 6, verse 12. I got several scripture for you today, and I want you to write these down. So it says this. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. This word in the Greek has the idea literally of a sovereign reign, of something sovereignly ruling over you. The idea is that it has such control that when it takes hold of you, you have no choice but to bow to it, to give in. That's the big picture of this. It's that sovereignty of this reign. And so here's the scripture again in Romans 6. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign or rule, sovereignly rule in your mortal body. It means you've got a choice. That means you get to dictate whether sin is going to have control or not. That means that you get to participate in that. That means that you get a say-so where the line is drawn. And you need to be able to see that. As the Scripture says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Go get me a tissue. All right, listen to this Scripture here, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, because God spoke these words to Cain, the first murderer in the Bible, and it says this, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, or hidden at your door, It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. I love that. I love that scripture. I love what it says. I love how it says it. It says that there's a fight. It says that sin is just around the corner, that it's just behind the door, that it's always crouching there, and it's ready to devour you if you'll allow it to do that. It's waiting. Literally, sin is in wait for you. And as you go along your daily life, as you're living it and maybe not even thinking about what's going on, all of a sudden, you turn a corner. Maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about, but then you turn a corner, and sin is right around the corner. And you think about that, and you've got to know what it is in your life that's causing you to sin against God. Because I've already stated that it's not the temptation. It's that next step. It's that next corner that you turn around. It's that next door that you go through. And it may be different things for different people. But what is it that's interfering with your relationship with God? You've got to understand, you've got to be able to see this battle that's waging. I think I've shared this story with you before, but I want to share it again. There's this missionary, and he went to take the Word of God to Native Americans. And there was one particular Indian chief who became a Christian. And he was asked by this missionary, he says, "How is your daily life going?" And he says, "It's a battle." He said, "It's like two dogs are raging inside of me, fighting over my soul." The missionary said, "Well, how do you determine which one wins?" Thinking to himself, and then he asks the Indian chief this, "How do you determine which one wins?" And the Indian said, "It's the one that I feed the most." In life, you've got to understand what wins, what dictates how sin wins or reigns or rules over in my life, or what dictates how I allow the Spirit to lead God and direct me into things that bring honor and glory to King Jesus. You have to make those decisions. You have to decide, and then you couple that with what God's Word says about the whole situation. What does God have to say? Well, that's where the scripture comes in, and he said this. He says, "Not the works of the flesh, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions." All of these things, it says, these are things that cause you and I to sin against God Almighty. And so we've got to understand the battle that we're in. And we've got to be ready to fight. And we have to give it all to God, because only when we give it all to God is the victory ours. And the last thing that I want to submit to you this morning is this. And I think this really just sums it up. Listen, in closing, in this last point, is you've got to surrender to win. Oh, there it is, preacher. There it is. There's that word. I knew it was coming. That's the hard part, isn't it? That's the most difficult part to anything we do, is to surrender to it. Whatever it is, especially when it comes to winning the battle of sin that we're engaged in every single day against the world, the devil, and the flesh. And so we've got to surrender. Well, who do we surrender to, or what do we surrender to, or how do we surrender? I want to tell you. You ready for this? Do you know that when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you acknowledge that you're a sinner. That's first, right? Can I get an amen? You acknowledge, first of all, that you're a sinner, and then you confess your need for a Savior, and then you invite Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Those are kind of the steps to salvation. It's by grace through faith, and you have to take those steps, first acknowledging that you've missed the mark, that you can't make it on your own. And so as we see this scripture, and it talks about the works of the flesh, then and we try and couple that with what God is doing in our lives, and who we're going to surrender to, you've got to surrender to God the Holy Spirit. Because when you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, what happens is immediately God's Spirit dwells in your heart. When you've confessed sin, you've acknowledged your need for a Savior and asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, He takes up residence in your heart. And so when you surrender, you don't surrender to the workplace. You don't surrender to the coach. You don't surrender to your best friend. You don't surrender to your parents because their salvation's not going to work for you. Who do you surrender to? You surrender to God the Holy Spirit. Do you want to win? Yeah. Then you got to surrender it all to God the Holy Spirit. You've got to acknowledge that there's something that He wants to do in and through your life. Other words you have to do this. As Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said this, I love it, not my will, but your will be done. Isn't that not a lot of words, but they're packed with power. Amen? And I think we've got to see that. There's a powerful, that I think it's a secret verse in the Scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Listen to this. For it is God who works in you. It's God who works in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. So it's not... For God works, who works in you so that you can do it your way. It's that God who works in you, not with you or for you, but in you. God works in you, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. I want to tell you something. Brad, I'm glad to know that God works in me. I'm glad to know that my King, that my Lord, that my Savior saw fit enough that I don't have to worry about all of my mess ups or my hiccups or my mistakes, not the ones that I've made in the past, maybe, not maybe, but not even the ones that I've lived in the present, and not the ones that I'm going to commit in the future. God has forgiven me of all of those sins, past, present, and future. Because God is working in me. It's God, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that this happens. And so how are you and I going to walk in the Spirit? As the Scripture says in verse 16, say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so you and I have got to participate in allowing ourselves to walk in the Spirit. And this is what the Scripture tells us right here in verse 22. The evidence that you're walking in the Spirit. We need that, don't we? Don't we need to know, how do I know, preacher, if I'm walking in the Spirit? I want to tell you, it's what the Word says. Listen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And then the Scripture says this, against such things there is no law. Against such things the law has been abolished. And so I don't know where you are this morning, but I'm telling you, I do know that you're in a daily battle. And I'm going to tell you that this fight that you're in for your life, for the lives of the unbelievers, think about that. More casualties have been lost for the battle of souls than any war that has ever been waged in history. And can I say this, friends? Than all of the wars combined since time began. More souls have been lost to this battle than all of them put together. And so today, I want to ask you, where are you, in this battle? Are you right at the edge of it? Are you engaged in it every single day? Do you wake up and do you put on the full armor of God? Or are you maybe tiptoeing with this relationship with God? Maybe you have felt a little bit of the battle as God's been drawing you to Himself, and you realize, you think, man, I don't want any part of that. I want to share something. Listen, anything that you experience as you enter into a relationship with King Jesus, it's oh so worth it, because your eternity hangs in the balance. And so you're either here and you're engaged in this battle daily as a Christ follower, as a true believer, or it's that the devil is trying his best to defeat you. He's trying his best. He's fighting over you right now. I'm going to tell you, according to Ephesians, it's a real battle that's engaging, that's being engaged against you for your soul. And the question is today, who will you surrender to? Will you surrender to the world, the devil, and the flesh? Or will you surrender to God, who sent His Son, King Jesus, to die on the cross for you, but then was raised from the dead on the third day, and now sits as a mediator for you and for me? Today, who do you choose? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, in the magnificent, mighty name of Jesus, we come before Your throne of grace. And Father, we praise You for who You are. We praise You for what You've done in our lives. And today, we've got a decision to make. Lord, we continue to engage in this battle every single day as Christ followers, as men and women who are sold out, who have surrendered to You. And then we have victory every day because of the gift of Your Spirit that dwells in our hearts. Or Lord, we tiptoe around and we've not drawn a clear line in the sand. We don't know where temptation ends and sin begins. We've not confessed our sin and invited Jesus to be Lord of our lives. Father, I pray for both groups today. I pray for those who are engaged in the battle every single day. Lord, give them strength. Give them power to be able to overturn the ways and the wiles of the devil. But Lord, also for those who have never confessed their sin and invited Jesus to be Lord of their lives, today, right now, I pray for strength. I pray for courage. I pray for a desire within their heart right now to confess their sin and their need for a Savior. Father, that today they would invite King Jesus into their heart, that they would receive Him to be Lord and Savior of their soul. Father, we ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning during our invitation? I don't know what God is calling you to do today, but whatever He's calling you to do, I want to ask that you would respond during this time. You come today. You come.